Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via a text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another week here in East Central Illinois on News Talk 1400 DWS. Glad you're with us on A Penny for Your Thoughts, wherever you might be listening today, whether it's in your home, car, working outside, running, walking, whether you're in the States, whether you're streaming, whether you're around the world and you're listening in on the WDWS.com streaming. Of course, you can always get the show on podcast when we're done in case you do miss it. So, lots of ways we come at you, and we're glad you're with us. We know you have a choice, and we appreciate you being with us here on Penny for Your Thoughts. News Talk 1400 DWS. Sunny today and a high of 87 in our forecast. A little warm, 69 degrees. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you enjoyed the weekend. 3 weeks out from the start of football for the University of Illinois. So my schedule picks up considerably here in addition to the current duties here on this radio station and this radio show with all the game action. They had a closed football practice on Saturday night, back to the 9 to 11 practice time if you're headed out for that today at the rec fields in Urbana. Lots of things to talk about. Again, the phone number is 356-9397 is the number you can reach us on. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357, and you can email us talk@wds.com. Some of the national headlines out there, the taping, or at least the recording of, what is it, Omarosa, is that how you say it, Omarosa Newman? President Trump's attorney, Rudy Giuliani, says that she may have broken the law by recording private conversations at the White House. She was on the TV shows over the weekend, including NBC's Meet the Press, part of her conversation with the chief of staff, John Kelly, played on the air. That has stirred up some controversy. Also, there was a attempt at a white supremacist rally in Washington, D.C., in front of the White House, in anniversary of the Charlottesville, Virginia incident from a year ago. And I think about less than two dozen, they said about 20 people showed up as far as the white supremacist end of things. They were far outnumbered by a counter rally in front of the White House. Everything turned out pretty peaceful. Turned out to be a lot of previews of it were like, oh, boy, this could get really nasty. And then it turned out to be not a whole lot. So that went on in front of the White House yesterday. Also, an Associated Press investigation out showing that Google, that using Google services on Android devices and iPhones allows the company to record your whereabouts as you go about your day. I don't know if anybody's too surprised by that. And the rival Koreas agreeing to hold a third summit between their leaders in Pyongyang sometime before the end of September. Those are the national and international headlines today. As far as local and state news, some details on how Unit 4's facilities referendum will impact city property to be discussed at the city council meeting coming up tomorrow night. There's all sorts of stories on that, both in the News Gazette itself and our radio team covering here through News Gazette Media. First class of the Carl Illinois College of Medicine continues its studies a couple of weeks before the student population. The rest of them arrive on campus. And you may have seen the big story about the dean program, of course, they did away with at Urbana Schools, which used to dole out the discipline. There was a multi-page story by Lindsay Jones in the News Gazette over the weekend, and you can take a look at that. And if you want to talk about that, you can certainly do so. Those are the things that are on the table. Also, during the course of the show today, I'm going to talk a little bit about the wildfires in California. Having lived out there for a little bit, I know just a little bit about some of the areas being affected by this, but what is it, the Holy Fire, they're calling it, from one of the canyons out there, and another fire that has become the largest in California history, which is saying something when you think about it, because there are fires every time every summer about this time of the year, more so in September and October than in August. But to say it's the biggest one ever is saying quite a bit. So we'll touch on that during the course of the show as well today. Lots of sports news. Don't know if you saw Tiger Woods and his attempt at winning a major. I didn't realize it had been 10 years since Tiger had won a major. He did not win yesterday, but he came pretty close. And we'll talk about that a little bit. Some people I know have been down there. Several people I know, I guess, made it down to St. Louis. If you were down there and you were watching, you want to talk about that, you can certainly give us reach out to us, either the phone, text, or email on that. And mentioned Illini football, basketball news. Our News Gazette media team here is basketball is kind of a year-round coverage thing anymore, it seems like, with the recruiting and everything else. But the football team getting ready for their game here in a couple of weeks. So that's what's on the docket today. We'll have some open line time for most of the show. We'll talk a little bit about the wildfires in California in the second hour. Tomorrow I have just an hour, and then we'll have On the Money tomorrow in the 10 o'clock hour. Wednesday, since school is getting underway, we're going to have what we call a teacher day. In the 9 o'clock hour, we'll have a teacher from Urbana and a teacher in Champaign with us on the air, and we'll talk about just teaching, the challenges they face every day, the joys of it, the experiences, what's it like teaching, have the students changed over the years. So we'll talk to a couple of teachers as we get close to starting school. That'll be on Wednesday. Julia Reitz will be with me in studio on Thursday. So those are some of the things that are ahead this week here on Penny for Your Thoughts. But open line time to start it. What's on your mind today? Give us a call, text, or email. We'll get it cranked up on a Monday after this. All right. Penny for Your Thoughts. News Talk 1400 DWS. 914. Glad you're with us. 69 degrees here in downtown Champaign. 356-9397 is how you can join us. Text line 3515-357 or email us talk at WDWS.com. Well, you found the perfect dress. You reserved the right venue. Don't forget to finalize your finances as a couple. Before you say I do, Busey recommends answering a few simple questions about financial history. Make sure you make a list of individual assets, loans, and debt. If your partner has issues with credit, including credit card debt, don't let it catch you off guard. Make a plan of attack now. Understand your partner's income, both now and how and when you're paid, and any additional income. Budgets and bank accounts, should you have joint accounts. Financial planning, long and short-term goals are all conversations had best up front, even if they're hypothetical. Things to think about if you're tying the knot, as they say. Go through Busey's finances and finances checklist with your loved one. And you can do all that on the Resource Center at Busey.com. When you're just starting out, Busey can provide an array of solutions tailored to your specific needs. And make sure you keep and manage all your accounts in one place with five lines of business: personal, mortgage, business, cash management, and wealth management. No matter your stage in life, Busey will be there along the way. Visit Busey.com or stop by one of their convenient locations for solutions to your personal, business, and wealth management needs. All right, anybody down at the PGA over the weekend? I know a few people that went down there. Did you get down there and see? What a crowd following Tiger Woods, huh? In fact, the winner was Brooks Koepka. Wound up winning just under $2 million, winning the U.S. Open and the PGA in the same year. I think he was just the fifth player to do that at the course there in St. Louis. Yes, he became the fifth player to win the U.S. Open and PGA Championship, but you wouldn't know it almost with all the excitement around Tiger Woods, who actually finished second. He finished two strokes back. Of course, Woods making a comeback from four back surgeries, shot a 64 yesterday for the his lowest final round in a major. He finished at 266, a couple of strokes back again of the winning score of 264, but Koepka was there, and it was like he walked up, and there was nice applause for him and Adam Scott as they're walking up the 18th green. These are the two guys playing in the final group there, final pairing. And it was like everybody was up with Tiger. It was like, oh, yeah, and you guys are the guys competing to actually win it. And, of course, Tiger was in it almost all the way until the end and got a lot of the attention yesterday. But a lot of excitement down in St. Louis, a lot of people there. Saw a lot of red in the audience. I understand there were some Illini fans down there, of course. Thomas Peters, I think he wound up sixth at the PGA, so that was pretty exciting over the weekend. Also, the other interesting story from the weekend, NASA launching this solar probe before dawn on Sunday. Don't know if you saw that, from Cape Canaveral in Florida, its first mission to explore the sun. The Parker solar probe will reach the outer atmosphere of the sun, called the Corona, and will complete 24 orbits of it by 2025. And I guess the big thing is, how do you keep it from just burning up? Well, it has heat shields that can withstand temperatures up to 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit. One of the mission project's leaders was on CNN, says, we've been inside the orbit of Mercury and done amazing things, but until you go and touch the sun, you can't answer these questions. Why has it taken us 60 years to get to this point? Well, the materials didn't exist to allow us to do it. So that also happened over the weekend. 356-9397 is the phone number. Text line 351-5357. Omarosa Newman, I don't know if I'm saying her name right, but the former presidential advisor with a new book out, Unhinged, about her experience in the Trump White House, made an appearance on NBC's Meet the Press. And to promote the book, she said she secretly recorded conversations in the White House, including her firing by Chief of Staff John Kelly in the Situation Room. Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders said in a statement, the very idea of a staff member sneaking in a recording device into the White House Situation Room shows a blatant disregard for our national security. That is some of the back and forth on that particular story in Washington. Also, events to mark the anniversary of the deadly violence at a white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, largely peaceful, police making just a handful of arrests. In Washington, D.C., thousands of people wanting to send a message that racism isn't welcome gathered on Sunday outside the White House to protest a planned white supremacist rally in a nearby park. In the end, less than two dozen white nationalists showed up. In Charlottesville, the mother of the woman killed at last summer's rally visited the site of the attack, saying the country's racial wounds still have not healed. So those are two of the big stories out in the D.C. area. And let's see, what else? There was one other story. Oh, I mentioned here an Associated Press investigation showing that using Google devices on Android devices, Google services on Android devices and iPhones allows the company to record your whereabouts as you go about your day, even if you're used to privacy settings that are supposed to prevent it from doing so. Google stores timestamp location data when its Maps app is simply opened. Automatic daily weather updates pinpoint roughly where you are. And some searches that have nothing to do with location, like chocolate chip cookies, are pinned with precise coordinates down to the square foot to your Google account. That privacy issue affects some 2 billion users of Android devices and hundreds of millions of worldwide iPhone users that rely on Google for maps or for search. 356-9397 is the phone number. What's on your mind today? Let's see what else is happening here. The Environmental Protection Agency holding listening sessions around the country this summer on contaminants that have turned up in public water systems in dozens of states. Federal studies of some have found that some of the compounds are more hazardous than previously acknowledged. And we mentioned locally the school district, Unit 4, from trees to streetlights, all the little details on how Unit 4's facilities referendum will impact city property to be discussed at tomorrow's city council meeting. The talks come as the centerpiece of the overhaul. Central High School's expansion is underway. Among the items in the proposed agreement between Unit 4 and the city, if a tree is cut down in the public right-of-way, Unit 4 will replace it. Responsibility for removal, storage, and replacement of streetlights falls either to the city or to Unit 4, depending on location. For streetlights by Dr. Howard School, if they're in too poor of a shape to be reinstalled, Unit 4 will pay for a new one. These are some of the details they're talking about. City will design and maintain a rain garden near Dr. Howard, and Unit 4 will construct a circle drive south of Dr. Howard for pick up and drop off. Let's see. What about today in history? Things that have happened. Happy birthday today to Danny Bonaducci. Partridge Family's Danny Partridge is 59. He, of course, gone on. He was kind of a wise guy, obviously, on the show, the Partridge Family, but went into radio and has become fairly well-known in that. I don't know, successful, I guess. He's noteworthy anyway, but Danny Bonaducci is 59. It was on this day back in 1912 that the Hall of Fame pro golfer Ben Hogan was born. On this day in 1912, he died in 1997 at the age of 84. And Bert Lahr, the Cowardly Lion, the Wizard of Oz, born on this day in 1895. He died in 1967. And this is the day in 1961, the East German government closed the border between the east and west sections of Berlin with barbed wire fencing to keep refugees from fleeing to the west. And then 2 days later, work began on the Berlin Wall, which we all know eventually came down, 1990, during the big, all the protests that occurred that you've seen along the Berlin Wall then. But when they first shut down the sections between the east and west, it was on this day in 1961. And also on this day, big day for Cardinal fans, may remember this, Lou Brock with a big hit. Here's the famous Jack Buck.
The 2-2 pitch. Breaking ball. Hit off the pitcher. To the third baseman. No play. Base hit. 3,000 for Lou Brock.
He's so typical of the man, Jack. He's knocked down on the pitch before, and then he turns around and hits a line drive off the pitcher that knocked him down.
Pandemonium here at the ballpark.
Lou Brock, 3,000th hit on this day, here August the 13th of 1979 is when that happened. The famous and the great Jack Buck with the call there. Mike Shannon still doing the games for the Cardinals. You may have heard his voice there as well. That game against the Cubs down in St. Louis. 9:24 here at DWS on a Monday morning, and we're back with more Penny for Your Thoughts. Open line here on Penny on a Monday. Back in a moment. All right, open line time here this first hour. What's on your mind today here on Penny for Your Thoughts? News Talk 1400 DWS. We have the news coming up at the bottom of the hour at 9:30. Anybody go to the PGA down in St. Louis? Were you down there? What did you think? I heard a lot about the transportation was really good. They had a lot of buses set up for people going to the parking lots. Not often, not too often. You get a major so close. Within 2 to 3 hours, I guess it was on the west side of St. Louis is where that took place. So if you were down there for that, you can check in with us. Any reaction to any of the stories we've hit on here, you can do that. Or if there's a different topic you want to bring up, you can certainly do that as well here on the open line time. We'll talk about the wildfires in Southern California after the start of the second hour here today on Penny for Your Thoughts. Tomorrow, open line, and then at 10 o'clock hour, it'll be on the money. Wednesday, well, with school getting started here very soon, this week in some cases, early next week, in others, so we'll talk to a couple of teachers on Wednesday, one from Champaign, one from Urbana. Thursday, Julia Reitz will join me, the Champaign County State's Attorney. Haven't had her on in a while, so we'll get her on coming up on Thursday. 356-9397, text line is available as well, 351-5357, and you can email us talk at WDWS.com. Lindsey Jones with a big article on Sunday. New discipline policy in at Urbana, while deans and suspensions are out. And 5 months after unveiling a controversial new policy that led to an exodus of teachers and dominated debates at school board meetings, Urbana set to put its new student discipline structure into action. The superintendent, Don Owen, says from what he's seen, he thinks the staff will be ready when school starts. Public backlash came over Urbana's new way of solving student problems, one that focuses on restorative practices, not suspensions or expulsions, has simmered down a little bit since March. What might in March have seemed like a sudden change was actually the result of a gradual 3-year shift away from traditional public school discipline, according to Owen. A memorandum of agreement indicates the district began working with restorative practices, a couple of specialists and her husband in August of 2015. One of the keys to successfully executing a restorative practice-based system is communication. They say it could be informal, such as a lunch shared between a teacher and a student, or a relationship, or formal, such as the circles students can request, where an adult facilitates a discussion between two feuding students. Critics of the decision to remove the deans pointed to an uptick in physical violence in the middle school as one possible indicator of the failures of restorative practices to effectively manage student behavior, and they've got some other things in there that are mentioned. Those words come from four different ways the new system will be measured over the long term. Reduced numbers of certain kinds of referrals and disciplinary actions. Reduced numbers of fights and days out of class and out of school. Increases in staff and student self-reports of school climate. And increases in family, student, and staff involvement. Again, this is all part of a story yesterday through News Gazette Media with Lindsey Jones. You can check it out in the Sunday paper. 9:30 here at DWS. News headlines up next with Michael Kaiser. More open line time in the second half hour. And then we'll talk a little bit about the fires in Southern California and then back to the open lines after that. Michael Kaiser with the news headlines next on DWS.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357.
Back on a Monday here as we get it cranked up. Penny for your thoughts. We'll have an hour tomorrow, and then on the money, we'll have a couple of teachers in on Wednesday. Tuesday, also tomorrow, we'll talk a little bit about the Taste of Champaign-Urbana coming up, I guess, this weekend, right? 9:35 here at DWS. What's on your mind? 356-9397. We go there now to Dave. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Good morning. You mentioning Rock 3000's hit brought back a memory of time when I was attending a Cardinal game. I was on the third base side, and it was Cardinals versus Dodgers. I think the pitcher was Sutton, but the first baseman was Parker, and Brock's on first, and so he knew he was going to try to steal. But he got picked off. He caught him leaning and had the binoculars on him. And what was neat is that Brock went diving back into first base with his right arm sticking out. And as Parker swiped to get him, he drew it back and tried to stick his left arm in, but Parker was too quick and got him. You know, that was kind of neat stuff. Thought maybe your listeners would not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I loved, I don't know about you, I loved watching Lou Brock play.
Yeah, Brock, you know, we got Brock, Vince Coleman, Ozzy, you know, and then there's Whitey Ball. Those were the good old days. But one more, a long time ago, I happened to be attending a game, a doubleheader at Sportsman's Park between the Cardinals and the Giants, and I think it was at the time was the New York Giants, and of course you got to see Willie Mays out in center field, but this day Musial parked three of them out on Grand Avenue, and that was that was another memory. But anyway, I'm enjoying your program. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Dave. I appreciate the call. Yep, good to hear from you. Thank you. 356-9397. You can do what Dave did there. Join us on the phone. Text us. That's always open, 351-5357. And you can email us, talk@wdws.com. My wife came across an article which is interesting about nicknames for mascots as we approach the start of high school football in the state of Illinois. And a lot of it had to do with the Monticello Sages. What is a sage? And what does it have to do with an owl? And there's an article about Jackson Walker going into his fourth year wearing the Sammy Sage costume at Monticello High School. Furry owl with a big yellow beak. The Sage's nickname is unique. Not another Sage's in the country. but it's just one of several unusual sports team nicknames in Central Illinois and statewide. Of course, a lot of us know about the Apple Knockers in Cobden, Corn Jerkers up in Hoopston. Those are pretty well known. The Pretzels in New Berlin and the Orphans in Centralia. Of course, you got the Wooden Shoes of Tutopolis, Flaming Hearts of Effingham, and the Lincoln Rail Splitters. Those are all pretty unique. Those, along with the Sages, are regulars on lists of the state's most atypical nicknames. And then they mentioned some of the statewide, according to Max Prep. Here's a list of the state's most popular mascots. Number one is Eagles. There are 33 programs with the nickname Eagles, including two Golden Eagles, one Eagle Owl, one Mighty Eagles, and one Screaming Eagles. 33 of them. Wildcats are second with 32. These are high school nicknames across the state of Illinois. Wildcats with 32. Eagles 33, Wildcats 32. I'll continue down the list here as we go. Frank, good morning. How are you today?
Good. As long as we're talking about ball games attended, the first ball game I ever attended, and I'm originally from Chicago, was June 17th, 1941, at the old Comiskey Park. And the significance of that day was Joe DiMaggio was in town with the Yankees.
Mm.
And he hit a ground ball up the middle. Luke Appling went over, who was the shortstop at the time, tried to field it, bobbled it, and threw the first, and of course Joe could run. He was safe. They called it an error. Well, three innings later, they changed it to a hit. And the significance was that was Joe's 26th straight consecutive hitting game.
Is that right? Yeah, part of the 56.
Yes, and he would have never had it had they not changed that ruling. And I was a kid. I think I was 9 years old, but I thought it was a hit.
Yeah.
Luke was young, and he got over there, but, you know, behind second base, but couldn't get him.
Well, we know they didn't review it on TV.
No.
I'm pretty sure about that.
In those days, the scores were the newspaper guys.
Oh, sure.
And so I guess a couple innings went by, and then it was changed to a hit.
Yeah. Well, I've been in enough press boxes doing radio games for years and years, baseball-wise, that I know some of the discussions that take place on plays like that where the official score is sitting there and he's conversing with several people to kind of, on a really close one like that, to, you know, try to figure out, did I miss something? Was there a bounce? Was there, you know, a bad hop or whatever that I didn't see? And that's pretty interesting discussions that go on with that.
Yes. I got to kick you out of your comment. No replay.
Yeah.
Okay. Take care.
Well, very good. Thank you, sir.
Sure. Bye.
I appreciate it. There you go. Joe DiMaggio. Two innings later, they changed it. And he had his 26th straight game with a hit, wound up with 56, a record that I don't know if it'll ever be broken. I don't know if anybody will ever get close again. All right, got a text in about Champaign Central Maroons. We're talking about high school football nicknames. According to Max Preps, the number one nickname in the state is Eagles, with 33 programs named Eagles. And we're talking about the uniqueness of the Monticello Sages. They're the only one in the country, we're told, that have that nickname. Eagles 33, Wildcats 32, Panthers are the third most popular nickname in the state for high schools, state of Illinois. Panthers with 31 schools, including one, the Purple Panthers. Fourth is the Warriors. Of course, we got the Tuscola Warriors here. They're fourth with 30. 30 schools have Warriors as their nickname, including one, the Golden Warriors. Bulldogs are 27, a lot of Bulldogs. Of course, Muhammad Seymour, one of those. Tigers next with 26. Of course, we have the Urbana Tigers. One of those is the Golden Tigers. 24 high school teams in Illinois with a nickname of Indians still. 18 Knights with a K, Knights. 17 schools in Illinois with the nickname Trojans, including one Blazing Trojans. 10th, Cardinals with 15, including Fighting Cardinals. And we got several schools tied for 11th, at least nickname-wise. Lions, 14, including Running Lions. Spartans, we got those over in St. Joseph. 14 of those statewide. Vikings, like Danville, 14. Raiders, with 14, including three Red Raiders and one Purple Raiders. And then 13 teams in Illinois with a nickname of Hawks, including two Red Hawks. So there you go. All the way from the Eagles down to the Hawks and everything in between. But lots of unique names out there as well. But those are the top 15 here in the state of Illinois, according to Max Prep. All right, we're at 9:44 here at DWS. We'll take a quick break. Come back with more after this on Penny. Penny for your thoughts. News Talk 1400 DWS. Open line time here this morning. A couple of other mascot names or team names for high schools who ran through the list of the top 15 in the state of Illinois. By the way, the Sages, Monticello, story here talks about the students there didn't know about Thomas Jefferson's home in Virginia named Monticello or Jefferson's nickname, the Sage of Monticello, either. Of course, the third president of the U.S. and writer of the Declaration of Independence certainly was wise. One of the young men said, I know it's a wise owl, I guess. But anyway, that's part of the nickname talk here we've been doing. Dick, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning. It's not an Illinois nickname, but it does have a Champaign connection. A lady that grew up as a young girl next door to me taught high school in Yuma, Arizona. Now, you'll never guess what their nickname was.
I have no idea.
The Outlaws.
Really?
And I've been out to visit, and the high school and the sign right outside the high school says the home of the Outlaws.
Home of the Outlaws in Yuma, Arizona.
Yuma, Arizona.
Man.
Now, there is a reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
When they originally started the school, they're in your high school there in Yuma, they housed the high school in the old federal prison that was there in Yuma, which is still there. You can go through it as a tourist attraction. It's just a small few rooms. But they used that as the high school to start with, so they called themselves the Outlaws.
Is that right? Wow. And you've been to Yuma a few times?
I've been to Yuma.
Wow.
The family, my next-door neighbor was a longtime employee at the News Gazette, and its their daughter was a high school English teacher. And got a job down in Yuma and was there and retired out of their school system. But I visited out there a couple of times, and the one time I went through went through what the tourist attraction. It was there in relation to the old prison. But she said that finally she said, well, when we go out, we're going to go over by the school. There was this nice modern sign out in front of a very modern high school building. And it's the home of the Outlaws.
Home of the Outlaws. I've never been to Yuma. There's not a whole lot out there.
No, there isn't.
You talk about the middle of nowhere. I mean, it really is. But, wow. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I had not heard that story. That's terrific. Thank you. Very good. Thank you, Dick. Good to hear from you. There you go. The home of the Outlaws. Of course, we have the Fisher Bunnies. The former Atwood Hammond Rajahs, right? And the Arcola Purple Riders. They had their name given to them by a newspaper. Of course, you have how schools have chosen nicknames vary. Some schools vote on them. MacArthur students in Decatur chose Generals by student vote in September of 1957. Sticking with the school's namesake, General Douglas MacArthur. Back to the phones to Russell. Russell, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good today.
Yeah, you talk about some of the nicknames. You can't forget the Freeport Pretzels.
Okay.
Or the Compton Apple Dockers.
Yep.
Back in 1964, the state tournament, the Apple Dockers made headlines then. So.
What a great name.
Yeah, they are. So when you talk about that, I just had to chip in with a couple of names for you.
There you go. I appreciate that, Russell. Thank you.
You bet. See you, Brian.
Have a good day. Thank you. 356-9397. Let's see if there's anything else in here. Baseball, minor league, of course. Minor leagues are rife with them. Having worked in minor league baseball, again, I always think I should write a book on minor league baseball. I've seen it all. Milking cows at home plate, among other things. Let's see here. Minor league baseball is rife with quirky names. From the Toledo Mud Hens, done some games in Toledo. The Hartford Yard Goats, the Montgomery Biscuits, and the Richmond Flying Squirrels. And, of course, up the road here we have the normal Corn Belters. And you have the Wilmington Blue Rocks with a stalk of celery as its mascot. Wonder how they got that. Back to the phones here at 9:52. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Brian. Brian, do you have you noticed how much national media attention has been given to the 20 white supremacists that were down in Charlotte, Virginia, or Charlottesville, Virginia?
I think they were in D.C., actually, right?
Oh, were they in D.C.? Mm-hmm. Well, there was a whole bunch more Antifa anti-protesters there, and they don't give a lot of attention to the Antifa people who actually go around and beat up Trump supporters and harass them. I mean, they're more like the old brown shirts in Hitler's Germany than the Klan or whoever.
Well, it seemed to me that there was a big buildup on Friday that this was going to be a really messy event, and then it turned out that nothing really happened because there were 20 of the white supremacists showed up and a few hundred of the others, and they all walked away, and that was it.
Yeah, but it's national news, you know. Hmm. I think our news media is more of an activist media than a straight-down-the-middle media. They seem to want to push one agenda over the other, but there's plenty of cases where Antifa has been beating up Trump supporters, you know, just intimidating them all over the place.
Well,
they're anything but
anti-fascist. I'm just glad nothing happened. So,
right, they're anything but anti-fascist. I mean, they're more fascist than anti-fascist.
All right, anything else, Brian?
No, I don't have any names to give you about high school mascots other than the Illini.
Well, there you go. I appreciate it. Thank you, Brian. Good to hear from you, as always.
Oskiwawa,
I think he was going to say. Sorry about that. Prophetstown Prophets. And can't talk about school names. We're talking about all these high school names. They put together the list of the most popular names in Illinois. We're starting with the Monticello Sages, who are the only one known as Sages in the country, they say. Eagles was number one, Wildcats number two, and Panthers number three. And so now we're getting some text on this. Can't talk about school names without talking about the Vandalia Vandals and the Teutopolis Wooden Shoes and the Prophetstown Prophets. Those are great ones. Thomas, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Brian?
Good, sir.
I had a question about the county executive position that's coming up. Will it be anyone that will come on and give any further detail about the county executive position and the consolidation of power and that how that whole structure may play out once that county executive is decided?
Yeah, I think we get closer to the November. I think we will. Yeah, we'll probably have a lot of discussion about some of the local races and have the different candidates on, I would think, at some point.
Okay.
Might be a little early right now, but we'll see.
I see. One quick question. I don't know if you know the answer to this. I see that there's a Kleppel that's running for that county executive position. Is this Kleppel related to Chris Kleppel as well? Or?
Same one, I think. Is that right?
I thought it was Darlene Kleppel that was
running.
Oh,
you're right. You're right. I'm sorry. Yeah, same last name. Yeah. I don't know if that's his wife or who that is.
Well, no, she's married to a Jim Kleppel.
Okay.
So it isn't his wife.
Okay.
When I saw the name, I did a little research and I discovered that. So I didn't know if they were actually related or what was going on with that.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. It's a unique name, so you think they might be. But
Right. Okay.
Didn't know for sure. Sorry, I wasn't much help there. I appreciate that,
Tom. Oh, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. Well, I was all over the place on that, wasn't I? 9:57. Jimmy, good morning, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Good. What's on your mind today?
Well, the one last, one caller mentioned, we were talking about, names like, and he mentioned the Outlaws.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to let you know that I'm an old biker from way back, and I've known a lot of Outlaw Club members. Well, this is Illinois, and we are home to the mother chapter of the Outlaws Motorcycle Club. So you stay on their good side, you'll be fine.
All right. That sounds like good advice.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the phone call. That's Jimmy. We go from Jimmy to Ken. Ken, good morning.
Hey, how are you this morning?
Good, sir.
Hey, you were mentioning team names. Of course, I'm sure somebody must have already called them with the Havana Ducks.
No, nobody did. You're the first.
Oh, yeah. Havana Ducks. And over in that part of the country, of course, it was probably the most politically incorrect team mascot name of all was the Pekin Chinks.
Yep.
Which has been, I'm sure it's been gone for a number of years. And also, you mentioned minor league. I love minor league baseball. Down in Florida right now, they've got the Charlotte Stone Crabs. And I can't remember, I think there's a Philly franchise, is the Fire Frogs. And brand new team. They built a beautiful new stadium. And if anything about minor league ball, just love it to death.
Oh, yeah. Well, I lived it for over a decade, well over a decade.
Well, that must have been really interesting.
Yeah. I did not make any money at all, but I saw about everything you could see.
Yeah, I went to some of those games up in Cary. They've got a ball team up in Cary. I think there's a Cubs affiliate.
Mm-hmm.
And they draw crowds that some of these secondary franchise markets in the majors would envy. I mean, that is really, really a hot franchise up there. The team in Cary, if you get a chance to see them, they're great, mm-hmm. great fun.
Well, very good. Well, I look forward to that. Thank you, Ken.
All right. Have a great day.
Appreciate it. All right. And Zoe, maybe you can call me back. I've got to get to the news here at the top of the hour in less than 25 seconds. I want to remind you, we'll be talking a little bit about the forest fires, the wildfires in California, just after the top of the hour, kind of find out where those are. We can continue our line of conversation here having to do with mascots and team names, or if there's something else you want to bring up, we'll put a couple other things on the table. On WDWS, Champaign-Urbana at the Tone, it's 10 o'clock.
U.S.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at wdws.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
Welcome back. Penny for your thoughts. News Talk 1400 DWS, hour number two. 74 degrees, sunny in downtown Champaign, 10 after 10 o'clock Central Time here. And we've got a couple of teachers coming in on Wednesday as we get ready for the start of the school year. We'll have State's Attorney Julia Reitz on with us on Thursday. Lots of national stories to cover, and of course, one of those has been the big wildfires out in California. And Jim Roop is with us from Westwood One. Jim, how are you doing out there?
Very well, although we still do have 17 fires burning in the state. The largest fire, the Mendocino County fire, the Mendocino Complex fire, I should say, which is made up of two fires in one, really, has grown to 345,000 acres. That's the largest recorded fire in recorded history in the state of California. It's about 68% contained. So firefighters are finally getting some headway, making some ground on these things.
Well, when you say the biggest in California history as far as fires, that's saying something, right?
It really is. We had the record fire last year. The Thomas Fire was, up until this point, the largest fire in California history. But now we have this thing that has eclipsed that, nearly doubled it, really, here this year. And this is going to be a trend, we are told, at least from our state government here, that this is the new norm because of climate change. This is how it's going to be, more fires, more intense fires. However, U.S. Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke in town, and he's saying, well, you know, whether you believe in climate change or not, that's not the issue. The issue is environmental laws that stop logging and deforestation, thinning of the forest, which the bark beetle is causing a lot of dead trees, and there's no going in to clean those things out. So it's he says it's neglect, poor forest management that really causes these fires. Mm-hmm. He says the president's right in the tweets that the president put out there last week.
Well, and there's the song, you know, it never rains in Southern California, but for about 6 months, and I've lived out there a little bit in Yorba Linda at one time, in Anaheim or near Anaheim, it doesn't rain very much, if at all, there for several months, and that's part of it. But usually this happens, the fires, like in October, right, as opposed to August.
Well, you have to remember that we, and you're right about the rain, there's very little rain, at least this time of year anyway. We are still recovering from 5+ years of drought. And with all the fuel that's out there, and some of these areas haven't burned in decades, 4 or 5 decades that are burning now, there's a lot of dense brush in there. So you have a lot of very, very dry, volatile fuel. Even when it did rain in 2016, we got some rain, but it wasn't, and it may have gotten us out of the drought, depending upon which scientist you speak, but there hasn't been enough moisture to get into the ground that increased the moisture level in the fuels, in the brush itself. So it's still, when you walk around, it's like walking on sticks. It cracks, the grass does, when you walk out in many of these areas. So we still have the drought we're dealing with, recovering from. We have all those fuels out there. We have the bark beetle that killed a lot of trees. So, and plus, we're building in fire-prone areas. We're building in places we've not built before. Over the past 10 years, there are people now living in these areas that Mother Nature used to take care of with lightning strikes. But now, everybody and everything seems to be volatile and in danger of fire during this time of year.
Jim Roop was with us from Westwood One. He's based in Los Angeles, covering the wildfires out in California. Of course, you had the big fire, what, up in Redding in Northern California, that was the start of a lot of the fire season, right?
Yeah, the car fire, that's about 80,000 acres right now, or 203,000 acres. It's I forgot the latest number. We just got an update on a lot of these fires not too long ago, but that's a couple of 100,000 acres in and of itself. That killed 8 people, including 3 firefighters. That's the most devastating of the fires that are burning. Not the largest, but the most destructive so far. That really kind of kicked it all off. Then we have that arson fire in Southern California, the Holy Fire, named so because it began in an area called Holy Jim, which is a small mountain sort of community there, or at the base of the mountain anyway. They have arrested a man. They're charging with arson in that. It just continued. We had the Ferguson fire, which caused the closure of Yosemite National Park. Yosemite will open tomorrow. That Ferguson fire, as we understand it, is roughly 70% contained. So they have enough of that surrounded that they can reopen Yosemite on a limited basis, limited hours, limited access. Certain areas in Yosemite Valley will still remain closed, but for the most part, people can finally breathe a little easier in that area, literally, and then enjoy some of Yosemite before the summer completely closes. Man, July is the busiest time of the year in Yosemite, so the economy has been hit really bad.
Yeah, I would think so. And those of us in the Midwest, we all sort of know, Jim, where Los Angeles is compared to San Francisco and all of that, but where are most of these fires in relation to, say, Los Angeles? I mean, are we talking 50 miles out, 100 miles, or what?
Well, the Holy Fire is just about 40 miles east of L.A. The fire that's about 23,000 acres now that burned 14 cabins, that arson fire. Then we have the fires in Northern California, the Mendocino Complex fire, the large fire. That's really west of San Francisco in wine country. Then the Ferguson fire is just the one that closed Yosemite. It's just north of Sacramento. Sacramento is east of San Francisco, almost lateral. So that's kind of where it is. It's a very large state geographically. It's a little hard to really pinpoint areas. But if you have the reference of Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Sacramento, which is state capital, you can figure it all out. Most of the fires are burning in the northern part of the state now. But that will shift because we get the Santa Ana winds in Southern California right around the fall. And that's when the fire season really blows up here in Southern California, which is why Santa Barbara, Ventura, those areas just north of Los Angeles were devastated by fires last year.
And I would say they're probably worried about October.
Absolutely. You know, that's one of the reasons why they're scrambling so hard and being so aggressive in some of these fires that are even burning in forest areas away from residential areas, because if they don't get a handle on these fires now, if they don't get them not just surrounded, because contained doesn't mean extinguished. It just means they've wrapped their arms around it, and so it's not spreading anymore. But once these winds kick up, and they're very, very strong winds, they're hot, they come out of the desert, they compress and speed up going through the canyon. It's like standing in front of a high-powered blow dryer, and it just blows, and these fires just run when the winds hit them. So they're trying to get these things out, cold out, before those winds kick up, because it could be really hinky when we get into the fall here in the southern part of the state.
Before we let you go, Jim, another West Coast story a lot of people may have seen had to do with that airline worker who crashed the plane. What a strange story that was up in Seattle.
It really is. And, you know, even though we have a lot of information from the conversation we have heard now from between the air traffic controller and this 29-year-old baggage handler and tow guy, I mean, he was part of the tow team that would get planes out on the tarmac, which is the reason why he was able to access that plane. But we're hoping that the data recorder, the cockpit recorder, will also give us some information, because maybe he was talking to himself inside the cockpit, and we'll get a little more information about what his motive was. We were told he's suicidal, but yet in that conversation with the air traffic controller, he's talking about landing the plane in a safe manner. So did he run out of fuel? He wasn't able to pressurize the cabin. He didn't know how to do that, so did he get lightheaded and pass out? Therefore, the plane crashed. Thank goodness it crashed in a remote area of an island, loosely populated island. There were some homes there, but missed all of those. So what really was going on? And hopefully we'll get more information once that data is analyzed from the flight data recorder.
And I've heard some people talk, Jim, about, you know, what does this mean? And maybe it'll be overblown, but, you know, here's a guy that worked at the airport, as you said, on the tow team, and then suddenly he's, you know, what about security for those folks? Or do we, you know, have to be more careful with that? Or is that maybe overblown in this case?
No, Brian, that's a great comment, because here we are, what, 17 years from 9/11. Someone was able to steal an airplane from a major airport, a commercial plane, even though it was a turboprop, commercial plane from a major airport, and go on a joyride in it. So he was authorized to be there. He passed his background check. He worked for the airline for, what, 3 years? For all intents and purposes, a great guy, no threat at all. Then all of a sudden, this. So what does that mean now for procedures and policies and vetting and all of that? What's that? How's that going to all change now? That's something that investigators and authorities are going to have to scratch their heads about and figure out, did something go wrong or not? There really wasn't a security lapse because he was authorized to be there. So what is the issue? Is it just a simple mental collapse of this guy? So it's not that kind of big deal. You don't have to be changing policies and procedures now. Maybe it's just we got to keep a better handle on personnel. People notice that a guy is acting a little squirrely. Maybe let the supervisor know. Who knows what they're going to come up with as a result of this. But in the wake of it, I'm sure that someone will say, here's what we probably ought to think about as a result of how this happened over the weekend in Seattle.
All right. Hey, Jim, thanks for updating us on those two stories there from the West Coast. Hopefully the fire folks can continue to make some progress, and they've got their hands full. I know you'll be keeping an eye on it for us.
We will do that, sir. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. That is Jim Roop out in Los Angeles for Westwood One, covering a couple of stories you may have seen and sort of heard about over the weekend about the fire. And then that authorities out there in Seattle recovering the flight data recorder from a plane taken by an airline worker who performed dangerous loops before crashing into an island in Washington's Puget Sound. And as Jim mentioned, the FBI says it's also found components of the cockpit voice recorder from the Horizon plane. The NTSB now processing the equipment. Richard Russell of Sumner, Washington, is who stole the commercial plane Friday night from SeaTac International Airport there in Seattle, performing acrobatic stunts before crashing into a thick island forest. All right, 356-9397 is our phone number today. Thanks to Jim Roop for being on with us for a few minutes. Back to the phones to Zoe. Good morning, Zoe.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good.
I just called with a little point of information. You were talking about Darlene Kleppel, and I think you were talking about Chris Kleppel. Am I correct?
Yes, Darlene Kleppel, yes.
And yeah, that's Darlene's son, I think.
Yeah, that Chris is. Yeah, Chris texted me. That's my mother.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would call. I know them a little bit.
But. Yeah, I just went. I should know that. I just went blank on it, and I'm like, oh.
I know. I mean, you know, I don't really know him much, but mm-hmm. I've met him, but that's about it. But
yep.
No, know Darlene pretty well. So anyway. Thanks a lot.
Well, thanks for straightening me out. I appreciate it,
Oh,
Zoe.
Well, you already did, so thank,
thank
you.
Thank you. All right, bye-bye. Yep, Chris told me he gets that a lot, so. Yep, 1022 here at DWS, and we'll take a break. Back with more open line conversation. I found a few more mascot names from around the country I think you'll find interesting. We were talking about that quite a bit the first hour. Anything else you want to bring up here on a Monday as we get ready to start school? We'll have a couple of teachers on with us, one from Champaign, one from Urbana. I think they're pretty well known in our community, but you'll get to hear from them on Wednesday as we get school started here this week in some places. All right, back with more Penny for Your Thoughts after this timeout on DWS. Stay with us. Back on Penny for Your Thoughts here today. Open line conversation. We had Jim Roop on from Westwood One for a few minutes about all the wildfires in California, and what made it interesting is just it's a little early. Usually, as he mentioned, in October is when they have the Santa Ana winds, but because of the droughts and all the you got some areas burning that haven't burned in 40 or 50 years. And he also mentioned the fact that a lot of big homes are built in the woods now, more so than years ago. And that's also contributing to some of the forced evacuations as well. In Southern California, they had fires up in Redding, which is in far Northern California as well, and in the San Francisco area. 356-9397 is how you can join us. You can text us. Castle Heating and Cooling text line 3515357 is the story I had earlier about the mascots in Illinois, the team names, all the different names from the Fisher Bunnies to the Corn Jerkers up in Hoopston, the Apple Knockers in Cobden, Rail Splitters in Lincoln. I went to a website, just Googled oddest high school mascots in every U.S. state. There's a team in Montgomery, Alabama, Lanier Poets. The renowned poet Sidney Lanier had two lakes, and several schools named after him. But only Lanier High student-athletes are true poets in motion. We had the one Yuma mentioned, Arkansas School for the Deaf Leopards. They say these Deaf Leopards were playing 40 years before the English rock band Deaf Leopard formed. California Vintage Crushers. A rare nickname that honors local industry, but still sounds cool. How about Connecticut? The Avon Old Farms Winged Beavers. It says when the mighty Winged Beavers roll into town, you best be bringing your A game. Let's see here. What's another one? Laurel Hill, Florida Hobos. Georgia, the Cairo Syrup Makers. The syrup factory there that inspired this distinctive mascot relocated in 2002. Down in Hawaii, and I don't know how to say the town, Punahou, P-U-N-A-H-O-U, Buff and Blue. Anyway, those are some of the ones from around the country. Got a text in, says, talking about the guy that stole the airplane, hide the airplane keys. Problem solved. Airplanes don't have keys, do they? Adam shaking his head. You were in the military? Yeah. Okay. I like it. All right, 356-9397, CBS News, just reporting a few minutes ago. Remember Peter Strzok had the string of emails, or texts anyway? FBI agent, he's been fired, according to CBS. That just in a few minutes ago. Peter Strzok fired, according to CBS News. But we'll see. All right, we have news. Michael Kaiser is here. And your high school was?
The Panthers.
Paint a Panthers?
Paint a Panthers, just like Eastern Illinois University, my alma mater.
Yeah.
So
was that by choice? Did you just?
It was kind of just, I decided to go EIU. I was at Lakeland, and so I kind of lucked out. So I was a Laker, the Lakeland Lakers in between.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, the Panthers are third in the state after the Eagles. 33 schools have Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
32 have Wildcats, 31 have Panthers. So
yeah, Panthers is a really, really popular one across the country. Everybody has that.
All right. Well, you have some news for us.
And, I think so.
We'll go from there. Open line the rest of the way. Open line tomorrow in the first hour up until about 9:40. Talk about the taste of CU. We'll have a couple of teachers in our studio on Wednesday as we get ready to start school, the school year, one from Urbana, one from Champaign, and then Julia Reitz on Thursday. But now Michael Kaiser with news headlines.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS.
Welcome back, Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Brian Barnhart. Glad to be with you today. 2 hours mostly of open line. We had Jim Roop on from Westwood One from out in Los Angeles, all the forest fires, and of course the joyride up in Seattle. So we talked about those two issues that you may have seen and read about over the weekend. Good morning, Brian. On the text line here, Castle Heating, it says, if I had the money or was president of the United States, instead of pumping oil from Canada, I'd be pumping water into the forest in California. Simple as that. Appreciate that. Back to the phones here this morning to Steve. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing very well.
Hey, I had one for you. I started out as a Cardinal, and when we consolidated with Farmer City Farmers, I became a Farmer City Mansfield Blue Devil.
Blue Devils.
Blue Devils.
You
Farmers,
like...
Cardinals, and then Blue Devils.
Yeah.
I became a Leatherneck.
Did you like the change?
Yeah, it was my senior year of high school, 71-72 school year.
Okay.
Well, we changed it. They were the Farmers, and we were the Cardinals, and we became the Blue Devils. And then I went to Western. I became a Leatherneck.
A Leatherneck, yeah. Wow, that Western Illinois one, that's really unique.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, those are all pretty cool nicknames. I like the Farmers, too. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah. I was a farmer, too, for 34 years.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, I appreciate that. Thanks for sharing, Steve.
All right, thank you.
Good to hear from you. Text here says you can't leave out the new Berlin pretzels west of Springfield. How about this one in Indiana? I'm kind of going by state here a little bit. Indiana Frankfurt hot dogs. Frankfurt named after the German city and home to the Frankfurter Wurzeln, the hot dog's European cousins. And in Kansas, the Heston Swathers, S-W-A-T-H-E-R-S, talking about unusual nicknames. This snarling logo for the Swathers, a hay-cutting machine, ranks among the nation's old-school best. And in Kentucky, the Somerset Briar Jumpers. A briar jumper is a rabbit, but why Somerset, Kentucky chose this mascot is lost to the ages. And in Louisiana, the Crowley Ladies and Gentlemen. Okay. Ed, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Good. Touch on what Brian said earlier, the brown shirts. Saw a movie this weekend called The Death of a Nation by Dinesh D'Souza. He had some go-around with Obama. I'm not sure what it was, but Trump pardoned him. And it was good. It went through the Nazi Germany and went through their manifesto, and it aligned perfectly with the DNC's manifesto. First, suppress the speech, take away the guns, have the liberal professors brainwash the children, and the brown shirts are actually Antifa, which leads to my next question, which I may call Julia Reitz, but I know she'll meander around the answer. You can't be in public with masks on. They should have all been arrested in Chicago.
Yesterday. And that was the group up in that was protesting in Chicago or in D.C. or both?
In Washington, D.C., excuse me, Antifa. You cannot wear a mask in public. You just can't. It's illegal. Antifa should be arrested on the spot, but those are the brown shirts, and their racism, you know, the DNP, DNC, are the racist people. They keep the down with welfare. Welfare is their tool for racism. But go see the movie Death of a Nation. Anybody on here like Don or Brian, it's just...
Okay, well,
and,
I know he's had a couple of movies that he's had over the years.
Right.
All right. Hey, thank you. Thank you, Ed. 356-9397. If you have issues with your roof, well, Swanson Roofing, the roofing dog, is the man to call. He's truly a family-owned business, 100% owned and operated by Corey Swanson and his wife, Melissa. Big thing they do is every job site is 100% cleaned up. And look, you don't want to be having your roof worked on and then have to worry about nails and things like that, right? I mean, you just paid for the roof. You don't want to pay for tires. And they do a great job. The roofing work that they do, their workmanship for the lifetime of your roof, and the materials they use are guaranteed for 50 years. And Swanson Roofing will help you make small repairs if maybe you don't need a whole roof. Maybe you just have a section of the roof that has gone bad for some reason or another. Well, they're happy to come out and fix any problems. The biggest thing is they'll give you a free estimate. So you're not going to call Corey Swanson and then suddenly be presented with a bill and pay this and we're going to fix it. They'll let you figure out what you want to do. Here's what you need. Here's what's happening. You got some water coming in along this place and it's coming here and that's a problem. We can fix that for this much. And then you can think about it. You can call them, 217-355-ROOF, 217-355-7663, or visit Swanson Roofing online at theroofingdog.com. A lot of people out there doing it. We just ask you to give your first call to Swanson Roofing, the roofing dog, and let them give you that estimate and see where they go from there. 355-ROOF, 355-7663, or visit theroofingdog.com. 1042 here at DWS. A quick break and back with more on Penny. 356-9397 is our phone number. Text line 3515357 and email us talk at WDWS.com. Talk to different things today on our show. Among them have been all the mascots of all the different high schools in the state of Illinois, both in our area and around the country. There's another one came across. Let's see here. I've lost it. I'll get back to it. But I mentioned the California Vintage Crushers from out in the Napa Valley. There was one other one here. I mentioned the Syrup Makers. That was one down in Georgia. And, the Frankfurt Hot Dogs of Indiana. I mentioned the Swathers, the Briar Jumpers down in Kentucky. That was a big one. How about in Maine, the Little Auburn Red Eddies? named after a philanthropist out in Maine. And let's see. Michigan, the waters meet Nimrods. So Nimrod was more popularly associated with the mighty biblical hunter until Bugs Bunny used the term to tease Elmer Fudd. In Minnesota, the blooming prairie awesome blossoms. There you go. High school names from around the country. 356-9397. Back to the phones here at 1046. Stan, good morning.
Hello? Good morning, Brian.
Yes, good morning.
Hello, can you hear me?
I do.
All right. I was just wondering if you'd had a chance to talk about how right I was last week.
Which time?
Well, all of them, but the time I'm talking about right now is that guy that called in with the 50% approval rating for Trump.
Based on the poll?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't look that
have
one
you
up.
Seen that?
I have not seen that one. I thought you were talking about the GDP numbers. Because I did look that up.
No, I was talking about the poll.
Oh, okay.
That turns out to be fake news, as a matter of fact. And either the author of it was Trump Jr., or at least he was a retweeter of it. You get the video of it. You can tell that the 50% number is a much different color red banner type than the rest of that line. And if you have a good computer and you blow up that part of the screen, you can see that underneath the 50% is 40%. His approval rating's not at 50%. It's at 40%. I don't even see how it gets that high, except for the alt-right and the rest of the racially divided people.
Well, the Rasmussen polls have had him about, I don't know, 43, 44 most of the time. And some of the other ones, NBC and the other ones, have had him in the upper 30s. So it's probably in that late, you know, upper 30s, mid-40s range, somewhere in there. I would
think.
But
the poll that was actually shown on TV that said 50% was Photoshop. And it was a bad job of Photoshopping because you can read the 40 under the 50. They just wanted to say that he had a higher rating than Obama did at this time in his presidency. Yeah. And that was the lead of the story. But the lead was a lie.
All right.
And Donald Trump Jr. at least retweeted it, if not authored it.
All right. Well, I'll take a look at it, okay? Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Yep. We go from Stan to Stevie. How are you, Stevie?
I'm doing well. I haven't heard all of the list of names, but I wondered if you mentioned the Vincenzalises.
I did not.
Yes.
And that's
not
over
many.
In Indiana?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. There are not many teams that are called the Alices.
And is that like the name Alice?
Yes, it is. It's from an old book that my grandma knew about, called Alice of Old Vincennes.
Is that right?
And so, yes. So, I just thought I would bring that up.
Well, it's pretty interesting where all these come from, because you go not only Illinois, but state by state, and you come up with some dandies, that's for sure.
I know. So, that's it.
Thank you, Stevie.
Bye-bye. Yep,
great to hear from you. 1049 here at DWS. Back to the phones to Bart. Hi, Bart.
Hey, hi, Brian. How about a study on what the average age of people that go to the Illinois football games? What do you think the average age might be? Do you have any idea?
You know, the average age? Boy, I don't know. I'd be just guessing.
Let's do a study.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that it's 45 plus, maybe even higher than that. And why do we need the rap, the blaring rap, and the hard rock in the music? Now, a lot of people say we want to stir up the crowd. That doesn't stir me up at all. I don't go to the games because of rap music and the hard rock music. And I think a study needs to be done and redirect what the people that are in the stadium.
So tone down the music.
tone down the music. Yeah. It's loud. It's boisterous. It's rap music. Who likes rap music that's over 45?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I know sometimes they'll play the music the players might like before, you know, as they're warming up while they're on the field running their stuff.
Well, all I know is I see less and less senior people and going to the games, and I think that's a very simple thing to do some type of study, find out really what is the average age. We don't have that many students going to the games anymore at Illinois, nothing like it used to be. And there's several reasons for that, but the rap music, the hard rock, blaring is beyond the pale.
All right. Hey.
I've seen people get up and walk out.
All right. Bart, thank you. Maybe somebody will do that. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you very much. 356-9397. Also would help. We need to win some games. That'll help solve a lot, right? Winning cures everything, right? All right, 10:52, another quick break. Back with more of your phone calls, emails, and texts. Busy Monday after this. Welcome back. If you've ever been involved in a crash, Collision Repair is there to help. Gallo Miller, Paint and Collision Repair, full-service collision repair facility. Of course, having an accident is a serious matter, and it's just no fun. I mean, first of all, you're beating yourself up, like, why did I do this, or why did that guy do that to me? What is he thinking? I mean, your mind is not right anyway. I mean, you're just mad about it. And then you got to think about, okay, what do we do now? And you turn the keys over to Dave Miller and Bill Gallo. They're very passionate about what they do, and they can tell you everything you'd like to hear about collision repair, but they'd rather prove it. Their motto is, where action speaks louder than words. Gallo Miller Paint and Collision Repair works with all insurance companies to ensure your vehicle is returned to factory safety specifications. Free estimates are always offered. Consider Gallo Miller Paint and Collision Repair. If, unfortunately, you need collision repair service in the future, you'll be glad you did. Just give them the keys. Let them take it from there. Located conveniently in Champaign-Urbana along Kenyon Road there, I-74, south side of the interstate, between the Neal Street and Prospect exits, gallomiller.com. 10:56, good morning to Tony. How are you?
Hi, the guy who called about who likes rap music, I got an answer. It'd probably be the mostly black players and all of the college students. I think those are the ones that probably like rap music. And it is the white suburban kids that made rappers famous.
Yep, and they play a lot of it, you know, when the players are warming up. I mean, that's some of it.
Yeah. Like
when people are making their way in.
I think we should replace the national anthem with more rap music, to be honest with you. and if you go to any other college stadium in the nation, it's mostly all rap music and no rock and roll or no Neil Diamond or whatever they play here sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I've been to all the Big Ten stadiums. We're not that different from anybody else. I mean, there's a lot of music that gets played in all these different stadiums. You know, rock and roll or whatever during the timeouts or back and forth or band or whatever. So I haven't noticed anything unusual about what we do. It's pretty common. And the thing I have noticed over the 18 years now I've been doing the games is the music has gotten louder. I know that.
Oh, yeah. Hypes the crowd, but I'm all about saving the national anthem for something really important. So that's all I got.
Okay, thank you, Tony. I don't think that'll go over very well. Don, good morning. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm okay.
Well, this one's for Tony, I guess. You know, if you support any restriction on free speech, in general, really on free speech, you didn't get education. You got indoctrination. But I was calling Stan. Keep Stan going. I think Stan's a great learning tool for what a sore loser is, someone that can't accept defeat. I think he has Trump derangement syndrome. I think he's a great learning tool for children to see what a sore loser is like. It's been 2 years. And you still give him all the platform he needs. I mean,
well,
he gets old.
We give everybody a platform. So
Well, I know even if they're wrong, even if they're wrong and what they're talking about has been proven wrong, you know, the truth just doesn't seem to really hold weight anymore as long as you got something ridiculous to say, I guess.
All right.
But, yeah, I mean, keep him going. He's a great learning tool for us.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Good morning, Brian. Greg says, Mr. Know-It-All, I guess he's talking about Stan, is suffering from a severe case of Trump derangement syndrome. Get over it, Stan. President Trump is the president, will be until 2020, maybe even 2024. And he says, in all caps, get over it. So it's kind of what he was seconding, what Don was saying. 10:59 here at DWS on Penny for Your Thoughts. Tomorrow we will have an hour. And, Jimmy, I'm out of time for today. I can't get you on. So you can call me back tomorrow if you'd like. Tomorrow on Penny, we'll have an open line up until about 9:40. We'll talk about the taste of Champaign-Urbana, get a preview of that. And then, of course, it'll be On the Money, as we have our couple times a month show with On the Money on Tuesday. Wednesday, we're going to have two teachers in, one from Champaign, one from Urbana, as we get the kiddos ready to go to school. We'll talk to a couple of teachers who have been doing it for several years, teaching and educating students, and we'll just kind of get their thoughts on the world of teaching. Julia Reitz on Thursday. It's almost 11 o'clock. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day, everybody. WDWS, Champaign-Urbana.